Well, good morning, everybody. It's nice to be in the new chambers. This is a submission in relation to a complaint by the Honourable Peter Dunn. And as the leader of the United Party, he took exception to a sentence in Robson on Politics, which was dated the 1st of November 2006. It's a bi-weekly newsletter and comments on political, social, economic and philosophical issues. And the next issue will comment on the Australian win in the last innings of the test as an example for good politics. It is sent to Progressive Party members and supporters, and it is posted on the Scoop website. Scoop had asked me to write something like a weekly column, but we decided that my newsletter would serve the purpose. It's decidedly partisan. Could you say biased, opinionated, dogmatic? But I say partisan. A strong line is taken on political issues, and I make it clear why I feel other political parties have shortcomings. I write it in a robust and opinionated style. Standing order 400N is what this matter has been placed under, and the sentence that offended Peter is the liquor industry's support for Peter Dunn, as with that of tobacco, has always meant that he has faithfully delivered his vote for their interests. This line was printed in the first version, posted on Scoop, and then deleted. It's not there now. This followed a discussion with Scoop staff, where it was felt that a privilege committee complaint might be made. Following a complaint by Peter Dunn in relation to the fact that the sentence in question was on the Scoop website for a short while, Margaret Wilson, the Speaker, has declared, presumably on the advice of the Clerk of the House, that Standing Order 400N is to be invoked. Without limiting the generality of Standing Order 399, the House may treat as contempt any of the following, reflecting on the character and conduct of the House or of a member in the member's capacity as a member of the House. It's predicated on 399, contempt of the House. The House may treat as contempt any act or omission which obstructs or impedes the House in the performance of its functions, or obstructs or impedes any member or officer of the House in the discharge of the member's or officer's duty, or has a tendency directly or indirectly to produce such a result. I do not see that in any way the sentence in question can be taken to have caused any of the obstructions or impediments listed in 399, or to Peter or to the House as a whole, and I'll be interested to hear any argument that it has. So in my opinion, it leaves Standing Order 400. Speaking Wilson on whether contempt has been committed, she stated that the statement in the newsletter may constitute a reflection on the character or conduct of a member, but goes on to state whether or not it actually does is for the Privileges Committee. Thus, your job, putting aside all personal or private interests, is to decide whether any reasonable person would be led to believe that Peter Dunn was corrupt or otherwise improper because of what I wrote. My submission will be that my statement should be viewed in the context of my whole political criticism on what I saw as the inconsistency of the position of United Future Leader on the sale of liquor amendment bill, which I introduced into the House. If that were done, then the reasonable observer would conclude that all I'm saying is that Peter Dunn listens to the views of the liquor and the tobacco industries rather than New Zealand families, whose interest he has proclaimed or upheld by him and his party. My statement is a strong one, but makes the accusation of inconsistency, not corruption. Nowhere have I said that Peter Dunn was taking money or seeking preferment. My attack is purely political in regard to his stance. My comments were made about an issue that I felt strongly about, protecting families by heeding the advice of our public health experts that the purchase age of alcohol should be raised, controls should be put on marketing of alcohol, and the supply of alcohol to minors should have more stringent controls and penalties. I knew that Professor John Langley of the Injury Prevention Unit of Otago University had provided the results of the latest research on this issue to all MPs, and I felt not only Peter Dunn, but many of the MPs who were voting against my bill were failing to heed the evidence of the public health experts and were far too influenced by the laissez-faire approach advocated by the liquor lobby. Contrast my statement, which alleges inconsistency, when read in context to what Don Brash told a public meeting on the 7th of August 2006, as quoted in The Hollow Men. In our quest for victory, we chose the harder path, the party of principle and persuasion over the path of bribery and corruption. Corruption is not a word you use outside Parliament without being very sure of your ground. And I feel very safe, if rather sad, in pointing out that Helen Clark's Labor government is quite simply the most corrupt government in New Zealand history. If my sentence were contrasted with that statement, it would be clear to the unbiased observer that I have not suggested corruption or impropriety. I've simply been making a point that I do not believe that Peter Dunn is listening to New Zealand families. I've given many other examples in ROPS where I think he was voting not for the interests of families, but against and for the interests of others. I used his vote against my bill for 4 weeks' annual leave as an example of my contention. I use his opposition to the Employment Relations Act, should be capital A, as an example. And on issues of industrial law, I and many other MPs became used to taunts, not from Peter, just generally, that we were acting in the interest of the trade unions. Was I in contempt of the House because I cheerfully admitted to being influenced by trade unions in the way I voted? On national radio recently, Gerry Brownlee, then Deputy Leader of National, proclaimed to an audience far greater than that reached by Robs that Labor was borderline corrupt. Will the interpretation be that he was in contempt of the House? And again in the hollow end, Nikki Hager writes, Labor deserved to be attacked over the use of its parliamentary service budget for electioneering, its election pledge card. It stretched the rules beyond credibility and was forced to pay back hundreds of thousands of dollars. Does it lay the author open to complaint that it's in breach of standing order 409? In my time in politics and in Parliament, I've heard many accusations that have impugned the character and motives of members. For a lengthy period on a daily basis, Green MP Keith Locke was accused of being a Pol Pot supporter. National, New Zealand First and United MPs commonly made this attack. In other words, these MPs were saying that Mr. Locke supported a mass murderer. When Jim Anderson was the sole New Labour MP in Parliament, he was constantly accused of being a follower of Kim Il-sung and Enver Hoxha. I can assure you he no longer is. Admittedly, a lot was thrown back the other way, with Jim Anderson accusing the 1984-90 government and the National government that succeeded it of being under the direct influence of the Business Roundtable and carrying out the wishes of that organisation. Jim Anderson was joined in this criticism, much later, by defectors from National. That same accusation can now heard almost daily in Parliament from the government benches and from New Zealand First about National and ACT. These parties are being accused of voting at the behest of the Business Roundtable. Richard Prebble, when leader of the ACT Party, accused me outside of Parliament of being a communist. In other words, I was a Stalinist. I've lost count of the times I've been accused of being under the influence of Fidel Castro. In 2003, the Honourable Peter Dunn issued a press statement after Jim Anderton debated Nandor Tuncius on the issue of marijuana and the law in his seat of Ahuru Belmont. The debate was held after Peter Dunn refused to debate Mr. Tuncius. The press statement was entitled, and it's attached, Progressive Debate Nandor Go Mad. Mr. Dunn said the following things about Jim Anderson and myself. Such views are anti-democratic and more fitted to a Stalinist state rather than the MMP environment. I can only conclude that the progressives cutting up the dope smokers has left them mentally deranged, and I urge them to seek immediate professional help, concluded Mr. Dunn. Well, we didn't seek that help, so maybe we should have. I attached the press statement of Peter's and a number of other press statements of the United Future Party that are rather extravagant in the use of language in regard to the Green MPs. I have those ones there. There's a treasure trove of them almost daily. But to give an example, I'll leave the press statement. One of Judy Turner was that Nandor Tuncius has demonstrated again that he's utterly prepared to sacrifice the well-being of young New Zealanders so that he and others can smoke their drug, which is a fairly strong statement about a Member of Parliament. And Judy Turner again about Mr. Tuncius. He's demonstrated yet again he's utterly prepared. Oh, that's the same one. Peter Dunn about Rod Donnell. I'm well aware what his bill seeks to do about the tour of the Rhodesia at the time, cricket team, and it's wrong. Trying to defeat Robert Mugabe by using Mugabe's methods is stupid and immoral. My point is, you're calling a Member of Parliament immoral, stupid, maybe, perhaps not out of contempt, I don't know. Conclusion. Any reasonable examination of my statement must conclude that I've not accused Peter Dunn of corruption or improper activity, which are the key words in 400N. My accusation is one made of many politicians every day by members of the public like myself, an accusation of inconsistency, and it's not a breach of section SO 400N. That's my written statement, Mr. Chair.